Coming up next on The Social Hour, we're talking to Gina Bianchini, the founder and CEO of Mighty Bell. It's a social network that's a little different than the social networks that you've seen in the past. Plus, there's a shakeup at Google+. Facebook is buying a fitness company and lots more.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for the Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is The Social Hour with Sarah Lane and Amber MacArthur, episode 159, recorded Thursday, April 24th, 2014. This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by 99designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 295,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/social hour to receive a free power pack upgrade valued at $99. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another fun-filled edition of The Social Hour from TWiT World Headquarters in Petaluma, California. I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur, and I'm back in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Hello, Sarah. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, but I just have to call you out on a beautiful Barbra Streisand filter you seem to be using, because even though you're a beautiful woman, Amber, I'm not sure I've ever seen you look more angelic and slightly soft.
Okay, can I tell you something, though? Here's the thing. I was just in New York, and I was doing a shoot for a couple of days, so I actually haven't, and I know our audio listeners will understand this if they watch the video version, I haven't actually washed my hair since the weekend, but I've had professional people on my face and hair for 3 days, and I feel like it helps, right, Sarah? You know, when they're curling it all the time, and it's like remnants of professional help. Well, I just have to say that, yes.
So we're sort of the two ends of the spectrum here. There's me. And then there's Amber.
And it's lighting. Like, Chris is all over my lighting these days. I don't know if he thinks I'm getting older and he has to buy more lights, but there are lights everywhere around me.
Well, you look amazing. Wonderful. Yes. I mean, as the social hour begins, we've gotten that out of the way. Amber looks awesome. Good work, Chris. We love your new angle of your studio down in the basement, by the way.
Yeah. No, it looks really great. And I'm so excited for our show today because it's going to be great to have three ladies on the show. And Gina is going to be joining us in a minute from Mighty Bell. She's the CEO of Mighty Bell. Of course, we know her as well from Ning and other great technology things over the past few years. So going to be fun to chat with her.
In fact, maybe we should just bring in her now.
Let's
Gina Bianchini, the founder and CEO of Mighty Bell. Hey, Gina.
Hi. As I look at the three of us next to each other, there's phenomenal lighting, and I look like I'm in a dark, dingy office, which is true.
There you go. I mean, we're all about reality here on The Social Hour. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Gina. We know you're really busy. I've been following your work for years. I know that you are extremely passionate about social networks. In fact, that's why you're such a perfect guest for us here on The Social Hour. Currently, you are the founder and CEO of Mighty Bell, which might seem new to a lot of people, but has actually been, you've been working sort of in private mode for years now.
Actually, just a couple years. So, you know, in our goal has been to, you know, bring people together around their interests, their passions, their goals. And that's been a mission I started with, you know, over 10 years ago when we first started working with Ning. And with Mighty Bell, we really want to bring this into the era of smarter social networks and really just all the things that we can do today with big data and collaboration and all of the great buzzwords that exist out there. So the last year and a half, we've been in this private beta mode and opened the platform up 3 weeks ago to anybody to be able to create a smarter vertical social network for a specific purpose, people, and your own content. And it's been going great.
Great. Just out of curiosity, why do you think that people need a smarter social network? What do you see today that's happening in the social networking world where there is a problem?
Yeah, so I think people are actually exhausted with today's social media and navigating it. And there actually is a really specific reason for it, which is that the first generation of social platforms started with a feature. So if you think about YouTube started with video, Flickr and now with Instagram, or even Facebook started with photos and photo sharing, you know, and then you have all of these other features that have been sliced and diced. So if you actually want to create a or be a part of a vertical social network for a specific purpose, whether that's, you know, for small business owners or for teachers or for people who are learning to code or any number of other examples, it's actually really hard. So, you know, we've made it difficult in 2014, which is crazy to me, that if you're a third grade teacher in a dual language classroom, your ability to meet and learn from other third grade teachers in dual language classrooms is a lot harder than it should be. Same is true for small business owners. So our whole approach with Mighty Bell is to create smarter vertical social networks. So we start with a purpose and really focus in on how we can help you with a vertical social network to meet the people that you should know, as opposed to the people who are already in your address book. And that's really the difference with Mighty Bell.
What do you think, you know, a social network like, let's say, Google Plus, or creating a Facebook page where somebody listening to you says, well, Mighty Bell sounds great, but aren't there Google Plus communities where people are figuring this out, how to connect to each other because they have a common goal? Mighty Bell is a little bit more, would you say it's action-oriented, where you want to accomplish something and the community is built around helping you achieve goals?
I think it's less about achieving goals. The way that we're different is when you're on Google Plus, you're on Google Plus first, and you might be able to find people that are like you in that regard. We actually start as almost an ingredient. We want to power people being able to create a branded social network that's vertically focused, that has a purpose at its core and is really about meeting new people that you share because you're all small business owners, or because you are florists, or because you are teachers, or because you're all taking the same, you know, massively open online course. And so those things are not actually happening on Google Plus, and they're not happening on Facebook pages. You know, I love to ask people, when was the last time you made a friend on a Facebook page? And the answer is never, because the way Facebook pages are set up, they're fantastic for the page owner, whether that's a brand or whether that's an organization, to talk out to their followers, and then for those followers to talk back to that owner. But nobody's actually talking to each other. And that's the problem that we solve with Mighty Bell, is how do we facilitate people coming together to meet each other, not just talk back at you?
I just signed up this morning, and it was a really easy sign up process. So just logged in with my LinkedIn credentials, got into the site. Can you talk a little bit about what you should do once you get to that point of logging in? Because I have a bunch of options, creating a community, I can check out recommended community. So what's the process like for the average new user to the service?
Yeah, so the average new user does not come to mightybell.com. And that's actually one of the things that makes us pretty different and at times a little harder to understand than, you know, a traditional social application. Where the most, you know, the majority of people come from is actually through the network itself. So somebody will set up a community or, you know, a vertical social network for local Levo. So Levo League is this amazing community of online and offline community of young professional women. And people will come to the Levo League. The local Levo is a feature within it to meet people in your area. And through that flow, somebody will come to Mighty Bell, and they'll come through that vertical network. So mightybell.com is really for the person who hears about us from this video or comes through something else, to be able to discover some of the networks that are on Mighty Bell or create their own.
Would you almost call this, you know, it's almost like you're providing some sort of a modern version of message boards that are associated with a community that's already thriving and gives people a place to connect to each other?
Well, certainly in the past, people have used message boards in the first generation of the web to meet other people like them and have conversations around a specific interest or passion or goal. We're a few generations ahead of that now. And so I don't think about it as message boards. I think about it as carving off your own vertical social network just for the people that you want to connect with because of your identity as a small business owner or as a teacher or as somebody who wants to learn to code. And the features within that vertical social network include, you know, the ability to organize content and have classes, the ability to have live chats and collaborate in threaded conversations, as well as to organize events. And those three things and bringing those three features together or three buckets of features together is actually what gets the most people excited about what we're doing with Mighty Bell and how it's different from other things in the market, because it is branded for your purpose. If you're an organization or a brand that wants to, you know, like the everything from an online coding school called Skill Crush to the Levo League to American Express to Lean In and leanin.org are all using Mighty Bell today to be able to create these smarter vertical social networks that have all the features that an organization needs to bring people together.
Just one more question for me, just because I know you have to go. You don't have too much time left. But where did the name come from? I'm curious if there's a story behind it.
Oh, it's a great question. Well, we think about the bell as like the ultimate social icon. It's been used for thousands of years to bring people together, whether that's to learn or to, you know, to congregate as a local area or to eat. Is one of my favorite is the bell in that regard. And when you bring that online to billions of people, that's a pretty badass bell. And so that is how the name Mighty Bell came to be.
I love it. Gina, one last question before we let you go and finish your lunch. You know, you've been in this space for many years. Obviously, many folks who are watching or listening remember the Ning days. Ning still exists, of course. But what do you think is, I don't know, maybe your biggest takeaway from the experience of building social networks and trying to figure out what draws people to social networks and maybe, you know, mistakes that people make?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that continually fascinates me in looking at this area and having lived immersed in this area for the last decade is the number of people who assume that the status quo, like what exists today, is the only thing that's possible. And what I have observed is that every new opportunity, you know, and we really see it as a simple, you know, a simple challenge of like, we should be able to bring together in 2014 all the third grade teachers in dual language classrooms in this country and have a place for them to go and to be able to learn faster from each other, support each other, encourage each other. And that is a purpose of social networking that has not been fully realized today by the options, the fantastic options that are out there. And so I think in a world that's moving so quickly, there's this desire to have social networking become static and well understood. And the reality is that change and adapting to what's possible, driven by a strong mission, is the most important thing in all of this stuff. And I think anytime I talk to folks that are trying to navigate it and that they start with what's there already, and that's the only thing that's going to ever be there in social networking, that's always a really dangerous place to be.
Well, thank you so much. It's been such an honor to talk to you. And I know we've both followed your career for a long time and wish you so much luck with Mighty Bell. I can't wait to dive into it even more.
Yeah, it looks awesome. Thanks so much for joining us, Gina.
I really appreciate it. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. Amber, it's funny that I was doing exactly the same thing that you were doing a couple days ago, actually. Signed up for Mighty Bell and just been clicking around. And I really do think, I think Gina is really onto something there where she says, you know, I think for some of us, even me, even though I know social networking and I feel like I'm pretty well versed, it's like, okay, well, how's this different? Let me try to figure out how this would help me in a way that another social network wouldn't. But it's kind of pushing that envelope, you know, not actually just creating something that looks a lot like a Facebook page or some sort of a feed that we're used to. It's creating something new and then figuring out how the community helps push that forward.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I noticed when I first signed up is how different it feels, right, Sarah? You know, you get in there and you're right. It doesn't feel like Facebook. It doesn't feel like Twitter. It does feel like a different type of thing. And I love how Gina kept talking about the verticals, because you get a feeling it is like that. You can go really deep on a certain topic, and it does feel a little more professionally minded than some of the other social networks out there as well. So it'll be fun. And I think the collaboration and the syncing up with LinkedIn makes a lot of sense for them too, just because the type of content, at least what I saw at first glance, definitely seem professional.
You know, there's kind of an interesting conversation that was going on in our chat room. I was kind of noticing out of the corner of my eye when we were talking to Gina, is people saying, you know, we're hearing the term vertical a lot. What does that vertical mean? And it always has meant to me, and again, there's only so much marketing speak that I feel like I understand really all that well, but it's a social network that's specifically about a thing. I would say that that's probably in a very broad sense how I would think of a vertical. If you say social network, it means people connecting. If you're talking about a particular vertical of a social network, it might be education, as Gina was mentioning, the teachers, or something that's specifically about hardware or something like that. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's just really, you're talking about one topic, one area, one sector. It's just another way to be able, kind of a buzzword. I think you're right, a buzzword for today in terms of marketing speak. But I would think of it as almost as a sector or a topic. And I think that's really what they're trying to do, is to get people to dive into those different verticals. And even when you go into the site, you get the feeling that, again, I just go back to the idea of kind of diving into one topic. It's not like going onto Twitter where you see a bunch of messages from people from all over the place. This feels as though there are definitely areas you go where you're going to go deep into a topic, and you may not see what else is on the side, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Category, niche. I think a lot of words also work with the vertical, but hopefully that helped make it a little bit more clear for anybody who's like, what's a vertical? All right, let's take a little break and thank 99 Designs for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. We're talking about social media presences online. Maybe you've got a social media page design for yourself, your brand. Maybe it's your personal brand. Maybe it's your team. The whole purpose, though, is that you want to engage with an audience. You want to look professional while you're doing it. You want them to share your content. That includes design, a cover, a banner image. Social media pages that are really visual and look really professional are likely to be taken more seriously, to be shared more, to have increased engagement, because you look good. You've got a great presence online. Now, of course, you don't want to have a design like everybody else, or you're just going to blend in and you're not going to stand out. So you want your visuals to be consistent with your company's branding, but also pop and also be impressive and look awesome. If you don't have time for this, or you say, yeah, Sarah, that sounds really great, but I'm not a designer, how am I going to figure that out? That's where 99 Designs and the professionals that work at 99 Designs can help you. You can get designs created for a cohesive look, cohesive feel across all of your social media pages, your entire brand identity, in under a week, in under 7 days. And you get a lot of creative ideas from designers around the world. What you do is you go to 99designs, that's 99designs.com/social hour, and that's where you can start giving these folks, these designers, an idea of what you're looking for and help them help you create a really beautiful presence online. If you go to 99designs.com/social hour, you will also get a free Power Pack of services that usually cost $99, completely free. Power Pack gives you more designer time and attention, so you actually have more designers working for you. And 99 Designs will feature your design project in their marketplace, so you get more designs and you have more to choose from. So go to 99designs.com/social hour and get started. And we thank 99 Designs for their support of us. Free Power Pack, worth $99, all for you.
It's a good deal.
Very good deal. Amber, kind of interesting news, and I'm not exactly sure what it means yet. I'm not sure anybody knows what it means, but Vic Kundotra, who's the head of Google Plus, has announced he is out. He's leaving the company effective immediately, and it's hard to tell. Recode posted this around 10 a.m., at least Pacific, this morning, and it's hard to know, at least at this point, what it means. Was he pushed out? Did he want to leave on his own? Hard to say, but I don't know. Do you think that this has any bearing on how Google Plus changes going forward?
I don't think so. I mean, although obviously it's not necessarily mainstream yet, I feel as though enough people use Google Plus where the platform is relatively stable in many ways. And the story is really interesting as you dig down within it. I didn't realize that he had so much influence, even though I recognize that he is the head of Google Plus, but he came up with the idea for Circles, which is, I think, one of the best ideas of Google Plus, the idea that you can push out content to a certain group of people. And I also think it was really interesting because we've been talking a lot about anonymous apps that someone had leaked a few days ago on the anonymous app Secret that he was, in fact, interviewing for other jobs. So not everything on Secret is true, but it looks like this one turned out to, in fact, be true for sure.
You know, okay, it's interesting that you mentioned that. Anthony, if you want to look at my page, this is actually a screenshot of that post. This is on the Secret app, which, of course, is the anonymous you can tell secrets sometimes. It can be used, you know, for news leaks, that sort of thing. But this was a secret that was seen by a lot of people over the last week. Now, I saw a lot of folks on Twitter this morning saying, aha, see, that whole, you know, so that Secret app is actually really breaking news before the journalists are breaking news because it's a place where people can basically tell things that are secret. I might be calling BS on this whole thing because if you're anonymously giving out tips, right? I mean, it's like you're an anonymous source that doesn't necessarily have a track record or clout or anything. You can say whatever you want on Secret, and if it never happens, then people just don't pay any attention. But if it does, then they say, "Oh, see, look, that Secret app is actually worth something." That might have just been coincidence or a good guess.
I don't know. I mean, we'll obviously never really know because that person is never going to want to be identified ever,
right,
because
right.
They gave up on a secret. But I do think there's going to be more people within organizations, particularly who get secret information, who are going to leak it this way, right? Because they have all this great information and it's a way for them to be able to distribute it anonymously. And I think it's going to be really hard within companies to keep secrets to just a few people because people just love the idea that, oh, finally, there's a place I can go where I don't have to get in trouble for actually leaking this secret, but I can still tell people and maybe they get some satisfaction with that. I don't know. I personally wouldn't mess around with it too much, but I do think we're going to see more of this where they trace it back to, oh, on Secret, there might have been something said about that. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, if people have to clamp down even further as far as sharing anything with anyone. So maybe a coincidence, maybe not. We'll never, ever know. But I think it won't be the first time we talk about a story that was potentially leaked on Secret before it came out to the mainstream audience.
Yeah, I feel like if I were just to troll Secret and once a day just say something like, Larry Page is leaving Google, Marissa Meyer is leaving Yahoo, and eventually I'll just be right. And then
you should do that.
I have the scoop first. For anybody who's curious, VP of Engineering David Bezbris is replacing Gundotra at Google Plus. And in a way, you know, let's put the whatever drama might have happened behind the scenes at Google Plus, if there even is any, aside for a second. It's always kind of exciting to me when a social network that's fairly new, Google Plus, is really, you know, just a couple years old. It's still evolving. It has really, really active community members and people who love it. How it will change, because inevitably these sorts of executive shakeups usually do mean something for the user base. And, you know, Bezbris might have some really great ideas for how Google Plus can be better. And finally, he has his chance. So, I don't know. It's a good thing, I guess.
Yeah, I think it could be a good thing. You know, I've been using Google Plus more and more over the past couple of weeks, and I'm always amazed at the quality of comments I get on Google Plus. I just don't have the same experience necessarily anywhere else. But on Google Plus, I feel like people like to write. You know, it's almost like a blogging platform in many ways. And so the comments, again, I go back to them just being of really high quality. So I feel like they have that part right. The one part, Sarah, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but when you're telling someone who isn't used to using Google Plus how to sign up to do a Hangout, and get them to be able to set that up and go through the process, it's not as easy as it could be. So I think with Hangouts, once you get there, they're great. But I do think that the user experience for someone who's really not familiar with it is super clumsy, and Google could do a much better job of that. So maybe this new guy can help out.
I agree with you. And I think part of that is that Hangouts just has, it's changed. At first it was like this is a product that's within Google Plus where Amber and I can basically have a virtual conversation with five other people, and the camera changes depending on who's talking, and there's that whole thing. And then the other day I was talking to Leo about Google Talk, and he's like, well, that doesn't even exist anymore. Now it's all Hangouts. And it's like, okay, so it's like a texting mechanism, but also a way to, it's like FaceTime. I think they've got some branding issues to work out.
They do. Even the live Hangouts. I mean, I think there are people who don't understand. Like, we use Hangouts at my company internally with our staff. There's only 7 people at the company. We use Hangouts to have group meetings, but that's a private conversation. But then, of course, there are live Hangouts that you can do publicly, and then there are chats. I mean, I think the branding is a total mess with Hangouts, and they've really, really complicated it to the point where the technology is great once you get in there, but the whole experience, the naming, it's just so unbelievably confusing. And that piece of it needs a lot of work. And I think that's where they have the competitive edge, and it's worth investing time in improving that for sure.
Agreed. All right, let's move on to your fitness. Actually, last week, Amber and I talked about Breeze, right? That
yes.
was the new app that tracks your activity. I actually talked about it on i5 earlier this week as well. I'm really enjoying it by the folks that made Runkeeper. And the idea is yes, wearables are great and everything, but so many of us just, I keep losing my Fitbit. I don't really want to wear a bracelet that's, an activity tracker. But I almost always have my iPhone in my pocket, so it can track my activity throughout the day. And it's really just steps that you've taken. Well, Breeze is, I would say, most like an app that's been around for a while called Moves, also featured on i5 last year. because, that's all I do is talk about apps. But Moves was just acquired by none other than Facebook. Moves is quite a bit like exactly how I described. It's about tracking your movement because, again, it's your iPhone that's on you or Android device. And it's pretty good at knowing when you are traveling by car, and so it doesn't count that kind of thing because, obviously, if it did, then the app would be really impressed with me and think that I was running
super
80 miles per day.
Fast.
But what do you think about this, Amber? Facebook is just on a tear. It's like, it's all about virtual reality. It bought Oculus VR. It's buying a fitness app.
I don't know. Instagram. I don't even know what to say. I mean, it just seems all over the place, right? I mean, even though they may have a mobile strategy in place, I always assumed that mobile strategy would have to do with them actually improving the experience for mobile users who were within the Facebook environment. But I think the acquisition of all these apps that are really in different verticals, if we can reuse that word, to me, it's just starting to not really make sense. I mean, I guess if you're a giant company and you want to go and buy everything up, that you can because you do have enough money. But if you look at a company like Apple, which obviously has deep pockets, I mean, there really is that sense of innovation at the company. And I think when Facebook does stuff like this, I start to wonder, I mean, who's working there? Who's driving innovation? Is there any innovation? And it just makes me curious. It's like what Yahoo is doing overall, I think.
Facebook also, they bought the company that makes Moves. It is called Protogeo Oy, based in Helsinki, Finland. So there might be more to the story than just wanting this app that tracks our steps throughout the day. You know, that the company could be working on all sorts of stuff that works with Facebook. For anybody who's saying, well, crap, now I'm, I don't want that. I like the app Moves. I don't want that to be part of the Facebook experience. Both companies say, at least at this point, that the data is not going to become Facebook data, that it's going to continue to be a standalone app. I think that that's just an easy thing to say when a company's not exactly sure how it's going to work yet. I can't imagine that Facebook is so interested in owning data from activity that would not somehow feed into Facebook in the future. But yeah, I'm not exactly sure how that would work either. I don't want to know as much as I, Amber, I hope you're, a fit person and running regularly. It's like, I don't need that to be part of my news feed on Facebook.
Yeah.
That kind of thing has never really been that compelling. And I think I think I'm not alone, but yeah, interesting nonetheless.
It's so weird. You know, Sarah, I also had a really weird experience when it comes to Facebook and privacy settings. So I'm doing a segment tomorrow on Tinder, the dating app, of course, which I have never used, but I signed up to start using it so I could talk about it, which is kind of weird because I'm not really looking for dates, but nonetheless.
Oh, you can interview me. I am well-versed.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I would love to hear your opinion about it. And what I didn't realize, though, within Facebook, I don't know if I share my birthday. Maybe share my birthday. I don't share the year I was born. But on Tinder, it scrapes all your information from Facebook. But even within Facebook, where I go into my personal information and I have stuff that is set to only me, so only I can see it, it still pulled it into Tinder and made it public for me to see and other people to see on Tinder as far as the age and things like that. I don't know. It just felt to me like it was another situation where Facebook wasn't really watching your data as carefully as they could.
Oh, so that's interesting.
I just bring it up.
There is a funny thing about Tinder where, you know, on Facebook, I think you have to say how old you are, you know, just to prove that you're over 13, but you don't have to make that public. You know, I've got my birthday there in October, but it's like, we don't have to talk about how old I am. That's not part of my social, you know, identity on Facebook. But on Tinder, it definitely says how old I am because, you know, if you're in the dating pool, that's usually one of the questions that, you know, people really want to know. Are we in the same bracket? Should we even continue this? So that is interesting And there's probably a terms of service, you know, somewhere in Tinder that explains that. But who's really reading it? And all of a sudden, you're getting into a situation where, I mean, when you're talking about dating, this is like, this is, you know, personal connections.
Yeah.
And you're not necessarily in charge of what you're sharing before you even meet anybody.
And I was wondering, I mean, maybe it's something that just I'm seeing. I haven't used it enough, but I'm curious, like, Sarah, if you go into your app, do you see how old other people are? Because I think you do, right?
Yes, because, and the reason that's important is because you can say, you know, here's my age range. You know, like, I don't necessarily want somebody who's, like, 19 years old to ever show up because we're just not right for each other, or 85 or whatever. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm trying to be very extreme so I don't offend anybody. But, that's a big part of it. So if for some reason you said on Facebook that you were, you were born in the year 1900, to be funny. I actually did that for a while. Then you're going to show up as like 114 years old on Tinder and nobody will want to date you, even though it's not actually true.
Yeah, no. So it was just it's a tiny little thing, but still I look in I think about Facebook and I think about their privacy settings and I feel like there are holes and cracks here and there. But that's for a whole other episode. And we could also do a whole episode on Tinder because I'd love to hear your experiences because it was a little weird when I signed up and I kept seeing how close people were and I was like, oh no, I just want to swipe past this person. They're too close. Anyway.
It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing that Tinder. All right. Well, let's move on to something that's not about dating at all. What is the story with the New York Police Department and their hashtag campaign that went so, so wrong?
I know. You know, I definitely feel a little bit sorry for them. So they launched this campaign where they asked people in New York City to send them photos and share photos if they had an experience with a police officer in the community or a police officer was doing some good in the community. And it really backfired entirely. So, of course, you know, people on Twitter are very creative. So they came up with this hashtag called #Bashtags. And the idea is people started sharing photos of police officers who were in situations that obviously indicated there was some sort of police brutality. And people jumped onto this, and it became a very popular theme over the course of a day or two. So definitely backfired. I mean, I think the good news here is that NYPD has said that they will continue to use social media, and this is just a learning experience for them. So they're not backing away entirely. They're sticking to it. And I guess they realize they have to be a little more careful, although I'm not sure they could have seen this coming.
In a way, I don't know. I mean, I feel like to, you know, hijack a hashtag or call it a #Bashtag, if that's actually what they're calling it, it's sort of clever. It's a clever way to exploit the technology that exists. But it's sort of like what does the NYPD do at this point? Do they try to squelch the speech of others? I don't know. I mean, it's kind of fascinating, really. That's maybe my only opinion about the whole thing. Although, Yeah, I think if you as an organization back down over something like this, it doesn't look good for you because it's as if you're running for something and you have something to hide. But at the same time, this is sort of a fact of life. There, people do have their own experiences that might not be positive. And it would be the same for really any brand. I mean, this is a police department we're talking about, but it could be a restaurant chain or, you know, a car dealership or whatever. It's, you know, if you put yourself out there, well, the reality of what kind of brand or organization or a piece of law enforcement you are, the reality is going to present itself no matter how you want to spin it.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to be prepared for that, right? I mean, you never know what's going to come at you through the social media world. We saw that last week when we talked about the airline and that unfortunate not safe for work photo that went around. Mm-hmm. And I think the interesting thing here is that if this happened maybe 2, even 3 years ago, you would have had an organization like the NYPD or a big airline. They would have backed away from social media. They would have gone quiet probably on social media. But what we've seen and talked about in the past 2 weeks is, you know, last week, I think it was US Airways who said that, hey, you know what, this was a mistake. We're not going to fire that individual. This week from the NYPD, they're saying, we realize it didn't go as planned, but we're not going to back down from using social media. So there is an acceptance that it's not always going to be a good situation. You know, there are going to be things that are kind of out of their control, but they're just going to keep plowing forward.
Well, let's talk about something that's going to make a lot of Android folks happy, and that's If This Then That, or IFTTT, or IFT, no matter how you want to say it, is coming to Android. It has come.
Yeah, so just a quick little tip. I know we've talked about this app before for iOS users, and a lot of Android users will be happy that they can now use it. If you're not familiar with it, it's a really helpful app if you want to do things like create social media recipes, for example, saying that every time that you share a photo on Instagram, for example, it will also get backed up on Dropbox. So you can create these recipes that allow you to really integrate different tools and services that you're using online, and now Android users can also participate.
Yeah, I love this. If you just go to ifttt.com, they've, you know, got a nice big banner here. Let's all the Android people know that they are now part of the fun. But it really, you can create your own recipe. These are all suggested recipes because they're popular, but they're kind of cool. For example, you mentioned Dropbox, but you could copy a picture to Google Drive. You could add a file to Google Drive from Dropbox. If you star something in Gmail, you can get it sent to Evernote automatically because it's assumed that it's something important, and maybe Evernote is part of your getting things done routine. Save iOS photos to OneDrive. You see it kind of how it works. You can pretty much assign an action to correspond to another action, and it can be very socially network-based. If you post something on Twitter, you can have it added to a spreadsheet almost like a diary or posterity or whatever. So it's really worth checking out. And if you are using Android, it's really an indispensable tool that's completely free, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great little productivity tool. So, and I'm surprised it took so long to come to Android because it's been so popular. But finally, it has come to Android users. Now, this next story, Sarah, for our spotlight is interesting, especially if you're a McDonald's fan and you miss seeing Ronald McDonald. I didn't realize this, but I guess Ronald McDonald has kind of been out of circulation recently, especially online. They really don't use the character a lot. Well, it turns out they're giving Ronald McDonald a makeover, and now you'll be seeing the clown more often through different social media channels for McDonald's, and there'll be more happening with Ronald McDonald, maybe taking some selfies, doing some fun stuff.
Oh, good grief.
It's going to get interesting. I still think, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, it could also backfire having a character like this in the social space, but who knows what will happen.
I mean, oh, man, maybe it's because I've never been a McDonald's fan. And I know some of you out there are like, what's wrong with you? Even as a child, never did like McDonald's. I don't know why. It just didn't appeal to me. But this is a very frightening mascot. Always has been. I mean, look at that guy. I mean, that's like the stuff of nightmares. So if Ronald McDonald wants to become this like lovable social media clown, that's what he is. He's a clown. And start, I don't know. McDonald's really, I hate to beat down on what might be a wonderful campaign off the bat, but I don't know, Amber. It reeks of desperation to me.
Well, it's hard. I mean, it's hard. I hate to say this because it's also going to sound like such a strange thing to say, but it's hard really to be that clever with clowns because they are so creepy, right?
I mean, exactly.
It's one of those things, I think, if you're going to do some type of makeover, it would have been almost better to have a new character, maybe. I mean, that's probably going to horrify people who are fans, but...
Yeah, right. I mean, McDonald's has experimented with all sorts of stuff over the years. You know, they have the McCafes, which are... well, that might be the name of the coffee, but they have their... It's sort of like their new McDonald's eating establishments that are kind of looking cooler, and they've experimented with all sorts of, you know, healthier stuff, and the Golden Arches now they look different, and I don't know. Clearly, I don't know that much about McDonald's. This is all just kind of stuff that I've picked up over the years, but the clown itself is maybe the worst part of McDonald's, but maybe it's such a legacy that they can't actually get rid of him, so they might as well have some fun with him.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know what to say about it because, I do know enough about McDonald's, and I know they have tried with their menu to be healthier. There are some better options there. But I think, you know, it would have been one of those things with the clown that maybe as they revamped everything else, it was time for the clown to go. It's just, you know, it's a strange conversation for us to be having, but I can think of so many different characters who would be friendlier and really put them in a different light and kind of take them into the future, right?
Yeah.
Maybe like a robot or something, a really cool, friendly robot.
Having just gotten through Easter and so many of my Facebook friends with children who have all posted, you know, these pictures of like, there's like a person dressed in a big bunny suit, you know, and the kid is just screaming, having an absolute meltdown, you know, and it's like, it's like this weird thing where the parents are like, sorry, not sorry, because that's such a funny picture. I mean, put any small child next to Ronald McDonald, it's going to be the same thing. I mean, they're going to be terrified. People have phobias about this. Ronald McDonald, I don't know. It might be time.
It's a tough sell, right? Actually, I shouldn't tell the story, but I guess it's okay now. But years ago, I guess when I was in high school, my best friend, her brothers, they actually stole Ronald McDonald from a local McDonald's, like the actual statue. Somehow they knocked him down, like the concrete stuff, and they stole him. They took him home, and they ended up, like, the police everywhere were looking for Ronald McDonald, and they had to sneak him back to McDonald's. It was like, so my friend actually had Ronald McDonald in her house.
Oh my!
Like
gosh.
The actual statue, like this. You know, whatever it's made of, like almost like a ceramic or something,
a
good amount of time.
Which it's like destroy the evidence. They're gonna find.
Yeah, so they
Mr.
had to
McDonald.
Bring Ronald McDonald back. So I slept in the same house as Ronald McDonald. I guess that's where I'm going with this.
Oh my goodness. Well, I don't know. We will watch this campaign. Maybe it's going to be a slam dunk. I doubt it, but you know, I guess you know. Even McDonald's has to get on the selfie train eventually. So Ronald McDonald might have a really popular Instagram. Who knows? We got a quick email from. This is a very nice dog owner, and just said I recently spent some time catching up on the Social Hour, and Cassie wanted to catch up too. Thought you'd enjoy her attentiveness. There's Cassie, the social pup. People know I'm such a sucker for these photos. I get so many of them on iPad today, and it's usually cats watching us. But look at Cassie. Now, you might say to yourself, Cassie looks like she's just sleeping, but I don't think that's true. I think she is extremely interested in everything that Amber and I have to talk about. And I think, you know, I think that's quite a few weeks ago. So that's fun for Cassie. She was binge watching. She was binge catching up with us.
Very cute. Thank you for the photo. I never thought about pets and watching the Social Hour, but
They love it.
Could be a new theme for
pets. Pets are very social creatures. I would say 90% of my activity on Facebook is all following pet accounts, as I have admitted in the past. Lil Bub, Grumpy Cat. I could go on and on. Oscar the Blind Cat. Boo the dog. I'm not all about cats. All right, so
I'm just gonna let you keep going.
Yeah, I could go on and on. Amber's just gonna be like, oh gosh. We love hearing from all of you though. If you just want to send animal pictures, that's fine too. But we also will take guest suggestions. If you want us to cover some sort of a social network or a story or anything like that, we love getting your feedback. Everybody who is talking to us while we're live, that is awesome. But we know a lot of you watch after the fact. You're watching on demand, like Cassie and her owner. You can write us at thesocialhour@twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail if you prefer to TikTok at 2626 social. You can upload a video somewhere, send us the link. You can tweet at Amber Mac or at Sarah Lane throughout the week, and we will try to compile those questions and comments for our next show. But the point is, we love hearing from you. It's a social hour after all. All right, Amber, before we wrap up for the day, what is our rad or fad this week?
All right. This is a Kickstarter campaign. It's called Fematic. And the idea is that it's a social photo frame that is connecting generations of people. So let's say that you want to share a photo that you're taking on Facebook with your parents or their grandparents. Then this is a way to do it by having an interactive photo frame in someone's home where they can see those pictures that are uploaded to Facebook, and they can even interact with them without going directly into the Facebook experience. So imagine you have a digital photo frame. I upload a picture of my son. My parents can see it and they can like it right there from the photo frame. So again, a Kickstarter campaign, so not available yet. You can pre-order it, but an interesting idea.
I love this video. Some of the Kickstarter videos are so good. See,
they're
audio
great.
Listeners, you'll have to come back and watch the video portion of this because there's a lot of visual stuff. But it's kind of like, it's highlighting the fact that, you know, some of the, you know, the grandparents might be a little bit confused with some of their options, but this is a very easy way to say, oh, okay, photos of my grandkids, I'm interested in that. How do I make sure that I am participating and I don't have to be part of any other experience? It's pretty cute.
Yeah, I think it's cute. I think it's pretty rad. I would definitely buy one of these for relatives who were interested in seeing more photos. And I think it makes it easy for them. And I've never thought about a digital photo frame having that social integration, but I like it.
Digital photo frames were so hot. Well, I don't know. What are we talking? 10 years ago? And then it kind of became like digital photo frames. They're sort of lame. I don't know. I'm sure some people still love their digital photo frames. And I don't want to say that they're not a good idea, but they kind of went out of favor. It was that they themselves seemed like a fad. But if there's a photo frame that does something and is uploading, and yeah, you kind of have it next to you and you're seeing new stuff that you can interact with. I don't know. We've got some people saying fad in chat, but I think it's rad. Why not?
Yeah, I think it's kind of rad. I mean, it's a different type of sharing, right? And
yeah.
I think that people love looking at photos, and I think it's like the next generation of photo frames may potentially have something like this integrated into them that makes it easier for everyone to share along. And I don't think it has to just be for social networks. I could see using something like this where maybe I take pictures on my phone and I could send them to a frame at my parents' house where they could see them automatically, because I don't share that many photos of my son on Facebook. I could maybe just do it directly from my iPhone or something. That could be kind of neat too.
Yeah. Fematic, FAMATIC.com. I love it. The social photo frame. I think it's a great idea. But I like photo. I mean, anything photo related that is sort of thinking outside the box, I'm usually on board with. Why not? Why not have more options?
Yeah, it's all good. We always take so many photos these days, right? And we have to figure out places to send them because they're just literally clogging up my phone. So
yeah, I've got
need some options.
I've got the same problem. Yeah, we've got all these backup, you know, automatically backup to Dropbox or Google Plus. Or whatever they call it now, Google Picasa? I don't know. Whatever it is, you know. But yeah, it's nice to sort of have a purpose for your best photos. And again, there are a lot of photos, like you said, pictures of your son, where it's like, you know, it's not even anything that you find, you either don't want to share with the public or it's just not really that compelling. But for your parents, it absolutely is. It'll make their day. So that it just kind of gives you something to do with all of those photos.
Exactly.
I love it.
Yeah, so let's give it a bit of a rad. And I also want to mention before I forget, I think I have a good guest for next week.
So oh, you do?
More soon on that. I'm just confirming that he can join us, but guest coming up.
Well, that is excellent. And we've really been on a roll guest-wise, Amber, and I couldn't be happier. I think it's just fun. You know, it's fun to talk to all these people who are in the social space. And Gina Bianchini, who joined us for the first 15 minutes or so of the show, was an awesome guest. If you're joining us live and you came in a little bit late, you really should go and listen to her. She's I think passionate is probably like the number one adjective I would use for Gina. She's really, really driven and really believes in this and is kind of unstoppable as far as social networks in the vertical vertical yes. arena are concerned.
She's great. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to our Mark Cuban interview from a few weeks ago, I think he stayed with us, Sarah, for 45 minutes, perhaps.
Yeah. In fact, we were sort of like, hey, Mark, we know you're busy. And he was like, I don't have anything
I'm
to
good.
Do.
I'm good.
And we're like, okay, we are going to talk to you until you hang up on us.
Pretty much.
Yeah, we've had a great run of guests. So guest suggestions, please do keep them coming. It helps us. And thanks to Amber, who's really been the booking queen over the last month or so.
It's been fun.
And that's it for this edition of The Social Hour. Thanks to everybody for watching and listening. We are live on Thursdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Do join us live if you can. If not, go to twit.tv/TSH. That is where you can watch all of our past episodes. Our archives all live there. And if you want to subscribe to the show, that's the easiest way to get it delivered to you each week. So whatever makes the most sense for you, and we'll just keep doing what we're doing. Until next week, I'm Sarah Lynn.
And I'm Amber MacArthur, and we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye, everybody.